Adam Sarah, how you doing? Okay, it's Parsha Kitisan. Parsha Kitisan, of course, is most famous for the story of the Egel. And a couple years ago, we talked about the Egel and about the connection with the Kruvim and the passage in Yechezkel, and then the whole passage, the whole story about Yeravam ben Nevat and the two Agalim. I want to take a look at a small detail which hopefully will shed light on much bigger stuff in the story of the Egel. And the title of the shir, the way I have it here, is, I guess, sort of tongue-in-cheek, but there is the scene that happens after Bnei Israel do whatever worship they're doing, and then Moshe comes down and destroys the Luchot, then destroys the Egel. Has something to do with jewelry. And there's an unusual word used here for jewelry, an unusual scenario with the jewelry. And it sounds very arcane to pick on this one little word that shows up three times and to focus on it. But the truth is, it hopefully will, again, shed light on a larger parasha. If you take a look at source one, this is the introduction to the Egel. Bnei Israel are at the foot of Har Sinai. They've seen Moshe Rabbeinu, 80 years old, walk into a flame and not come out for close to 6 weeks. And so they come up to Aaron and they say, "Kum asei lanu Elohim asher ilchu lefanenu, make a leader that will go before us." Kizem Moshe Aish asher halanu me'eretz Yisrael le'adonu mehayalo. We don't know what's happened to Moshe. They're asking for a replacement for Moshe. It's very unclear what it is that the Egel was supposed to substitute for, because it doesn't sound like they're saying we're switching it for switching Hashem for this thing. And indeed, it never really is called Avodah Zarah per se. But here's what they say: "Vayomar Aleim Aaron." Aaron turns to them and says, "Parkunis me'azahav, take off the gold rings, Asher bozneinu shechem v'nechem notechem, that your wives, sons, and daughters have." Which means, who's Aaron talking to?
Everyone.
I was talking to the men and telling the men to take them out of their children and wives' ears.
It doesn't say rings, it says out of the ears of your wives and your sons.
Right.
So it was the fashion then for...
No, Nizmehazab, right. So the earrings that are in the ears, the rings that are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, Vaviu Eli. Now, does that mean that the men aren't wearing rings? Does that mean that he's not telling the men to take off their own rings? It seems that their men aren't wearing rings, and the kids and the wives are wearing rings. And unlike the very famous Midrashic direction, the simple read of the text is everybody immediately took off their rings. In other words, that the men didn't have to force it or even ask, but everybody took off their rings. They brought it to Aaron. Aaron throws it into some sort of a forge. And he turns it into a masecha, means poured, like poured molten calf. And the people make this declaration: "This is your God who took you out of Mitzrayim." And of course, what all that means is part of a much larger issue. After the whole story with the Egel, meaning after the event of the Egel and Moshe coming down, and Moshe then asks God forgiveness, and Moshe has the famous line, which is, "If you don't forgive them, take me out of your book," etc. Which page do you have? Yeah. Oh, they gave me a one-sided here. Take this. Okay. Somebody else have a one-sided also?
Yeah.
Okay, here. So, okay. There you go. Okay. My apologies. All right. Now we're all two sides. By the Baron Adonai Moshe, source two is going to be really our core source we're going to look at. Lech alei mizeh. Now the forgiveness has happened and we've agreed to continue. We're not going to destroy the nation. You must go away up from here. Atava amasher alita meretz Yisrael. You and the nation that you took out. Well, that you took out, big point. To the land that I promised to give to your ancestors, right? Now, this sounds like bad news. In other words, I'm not going to lead you anymore. I'm going to send a malach. But the funny thing is that in Parshat Mishpatim, when everything was all good, we have the same exact message. In any case, and I'm going to chase out. Now notice, I'll send a malach, but I'm going to chase out all the nations. And so you can go conquer the land where the Brit is restored, as it were. El Eretz Avar Chalav Dvash, but I'm not going to go with you because I might destroy you. And you are a stiff-necked people, which means you have a tendency to rebelliousness. And if I hang out with you, then I'm going to destroy you. So I'm going to put a little safe distance here. That's the word. Which means this is a bittersweet piece of news. For the most part, it's good, which is I'm not going to destroy you. And the plan is still on, and you're going to come to the land. However, the bad news is that I'm separating myself from you somewhat because you are stiff-necked people, and if I'm too close to you, I will destroy you. Okay. Now, Vayishma ha'am, this is the part we want to focus on, et divrei, et adavar ha'ra hazeh.
Can you back up? If I'm too close to you, I will destroy you.
Mm-hmm. In other words, you have a tendency to rebelliousness. And if my presence is in your midst, it will automatically, whatever it is, respond to your bad behavior. So I'm putting a buffer in there. And the buffer is this malach. It's a little distance. What it means theologically, I can't explain, but those are God's words.
Okay.
So then, how do the people respond when they hear this? And it's called davar ra. And it's in spite of the promise, and it's in spite of back on track with the plan, the distancing is the bad news. Their response is vayit abalu, which means they mourn. And then veloshatu ish edyo alav. Now, lashit means to place. So veloshatu ish edyo alav, which means no man placed his adi, which is usually means jewels, on him. Now, this all sounds very strange. First of all, what we saw earlier in the parsha seemed to indicate that the jewels were worn by everybody but the men. Is this the same jewels that they had taken off to use for the egel? In which case, did anybody still have them on? Were they putting it on and said nobody put it on? Did they have it on, they took it off? And why use this strange word adi? It's the first time the word adi shows up in Tanakh, is right here. And it shows up limited times. We have almost all of them on the page. But what gets stranger is, and I have this in the questions below, Vayomar Adonai El Moshe, Emor Bnei Yisrael Atem Am Kshei Oref. After this, after Hashem gave the bad news, and people reacted with mourning and not putting on these jewels, whatever it is, Hashem then says to Moshe, go tell Bnei Yisrael Atem Am Kshei Oref, you're a stiff-necked people. Again, the same notion. Within one moment that I'm with you, I could destroy you, and I may destroy you. So now, take your jewels off.
Does this indicate that God doesn't have much patience? That God is not so godly?
Again, theologically, I just don't know what to do with it. I don't know what to do with it. But you're right. It does. The sound that this pasuk does sound, and the previous one does sound, like there's a lack of control there, which means that if the wrong thing happens, this is going to be the reaction, and it's almost like there's nothing I can do about it. And there's other psukim that we have that seem to indicate that, which, of course, theologically are very difficult, such as, Lo yirani hadam b'chai. Well, but you're God, so allow me to see you and not die. Why do we have to do the rule? So it's certainly a difficulty, I'll admit that. I have no answer to it. V'ata redya decha mi'alecha v'edam ha'aselach. Now, take your jewels off, and then I'll know what to do with you. Well, wait a second. Didn't they already take their jewels off? Or didn't they not put them on? So why is God commanding them now, take your jewels off, if they already did it in response and since a mourning? Very strange thing. And then, the very next pasuk is, Vayit natslu v'nei Yisrael edyam mehar chorev. The entire pasuk is a mystery. Certainly, vayit natslu, lin natsel, which in modern Hebrew means to manipulate or take advantage of, and lehit natsel in modern Hebrew means to sort of ask forgiveness, like to try to appease. Lin natsel in Tanakh seems to mean to steal, and we'll see good examples of that. And so vayit natslu, which means their jewels were stolen from them. And then Mehar Chorev is even stranger, because the prefix Mem here means from. What do you mean? They're stolen from them from Har Chorev. You would expect that the prefix would be Bet. It was stolen from them at Har Chorev. Right, so what's Mehar Chorev? So the translation below is actually the way that some of the Rishonim take it. Mehar Chorev, meaning from the time that they were at Chorev and on, their jewelry was stolen. But what does stolen mean? Did God say, hey, look over there and take it from us? What does it mean that it was stolen? It's a very strange phrase. This entire piece is a mystery. And I'll be honest with you, every year I've looked at it, I said, I just don't get this jewels thing, but we'll go on to something else. This year I finally said, let's not go on to something else. Let's look at the jewels, see what's going on. So the reality is that jewelry does have a critical, a vital role in the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim. We're all familiar with it. And it has a role that carries with it an interesting word in the story. It's something that shows up three times. The first time is at the snap, when Hashem gives Moshe the kind of the broad vision of what's going to happen in Yetziat Mitzrayim. As that vision gets diluted, because every time Moshe says no, there's like a negotiation down. And at one point, right in the middle, Hashem says that when you leave, you won't leave empty-handed. Everybody's going to be liking you. Every woman will ask of her neighbor or the one who lives in her house, which, by the way, is troubling if we think that Bnei Israel lived in some separate area, because it sounds like the Jewish women who were slaves had slave women who were Egyptians who lived in their house, the Garat Beta. What are they going to request from them? And this, of course, is a whole other part of the request. Was it a borrowing that they lied about? Was it back pay? Klei chesef uklei zahav usmalot. All of these rightfully could be called jewels, even the smalot. V'samtem abneichem v'abnoteichem, and here's the word. You're going to put these things on your children, v'nitzaltem et Mitzrayim, and you will despoil Mitzrayim. That's the word. To totally pillage something is despoiling. This is all spoils. So you're going to get their gold and silver and fancy clothes, and you're going to despoil them. They'll be emptied out. What? But notice, these are not called Adi. They're Klei Chesed and Klei Zahav. These things come up again just before Makat Bechorot. Hashem turns to Moshe and says, Taber na bozne am, source 4, Yishalu Ishmeid Reu, Yisham Yishayid Huta, Klei Chesed and Klei Zahav. Right? So request the gold and the silver from them. You turn the page and you see in the narrative what happens. Bnei Yisrael asuki dvar Moshe, Yishalu Mitzrayim Klei Chesed and Klei Zahav usmalot. Bnei Yisrael did what Moshe asked. And they requested, borrowed, again, what it is a different story, a different question. The gold, the silver, and the nice garments. So somehow the Egyptians were agreeable to give it, or were like, take it and go. Unclear, but it was something that they were okay doing. And again, this very unusual word that's used in the original promise of the Sneh, and now in the narrative that describes what happened, they despoiled Mitzrayim. Now,
why would the Egyptians like them?
Right, so one possibility is that there's some sort of, then all this other weird kind of mood stuff, like Paro being stubborn, so suddenly maybe Bnei Israel are looking, the Egyptians are looking at Bnei Israel and looking at Moshe with a lot of fear, and maybe saying, oh, we'd love to give you stuff, or maybe it's more like, get the heck out of here and take it. Right? Could be. Now, what's the context, just this is a side point, but perhaps an important side point for what we're doing. What is the context, or shall we say the pretext, of the gold and the silver? Remember, Bnei Israel, from their perspective, and a perspective of the official news agency of Egypt, what's going on? Bnei Israel have been requesting what for months? Opportunity to go out for 3 days and bring some sort of an offering. They don't know what the offering is. That's why they take all their animals. And the assumption is they also have to take these nice clothes as part of this celebration. Right? They're going to wear jewelry and nice clothes. And by the way, you notice that all of this is about kids and women. Again, the very first thing it says, your sons and your daughters and your wives. And the garment is simla, that even though men wore smalot, smalot typically associated with women. Right? So they're going to be the ones who are wearing it, and you're going to get it from them, and you're going to go out, and that's how you're going to celebrate it.
Yes.
And if you think about it, back in the negotiations between Moshe and Paro, Paro's original statement at Arba, at Makan number 8, is let the men go. Right? And the notion is, this is going to be a men's offering, and the men go. And then Moshe's answer is, no, which means we're going to take the old and the young, the boys and the girls, but assumed among them is the women. So it's like the non-adult men, everybody else, seems to play a kind of different role. And they're the ones who are getting all this stuff. And this is the gold and the silver that they're bringing out. Now, one line, then I'll take a question. One line here is what Paro here says to Moshe in source number 6, that the men will go. Moshe's answer is, "Vanachnu lo neda man navoret Adonai ad boenu shama." We don't know what the worship's going to be till we get there. So therefore, we've got to come armed with all this stuff, all the different animals, the men, the women, the young, the old, and of course the jewelry and everything else, which seems to be part of this celebration, which of course never really takes place, at least not in the way we anticipate it. And the 3 days ends up being something of a sham or a total sham. And they end up going to the Midbar. The question is, what do Bnei Israel think about that? Do Bnei Israel think, ha-ha, we fooled them, now we got all this gold? Or do Bnei Israel perhaps think, well, maybe the three-day plan didn't work, but we're still supposed to go out and worship God? And then they get to Har Sinai, several months later, 7 weeks later, however long it is, and they're suddenly told that there's going to be a revelation of God. So this must be it. So this is the time to put on all of those gold and silver and the garments. This is part of that whole celebration. So it makes sense that these clothes are on there. But then again, the question is, why in our story does it not say klei chesed v'klei zahav? Why does it use this unusual word, adi? Okay, Bill, you had a question.
Yeah, the timeline. The Jews leave Egypt after the 10 plagues, and the last plague is the slaying of the firstborn.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Egyptians are glad to give the Israelites all their jewelry? And
no, before that last plague.
That's before the last
sure,
plague.
Sure, because the last plague is midnight, and they're out right. First thing in the morning. They already got all that good stuff.
Okay.
Right. So the word adi, which is what I really want to look at here, which we translate as...
Also, roe edro. Is that the same spelling?
Roe edro?
Oh,
that's edro. But the word Adi, which means jewel, and it's used in modern Hebrew, I have a niece whose name is Adi, and means jewel, and that name actually comes from the Pasuk, and typically most people associate it with Pasuk number 7. It's a word that shows up really not that frequently in Tanakh, and in Yeshayahu, this is part of the Yeshayahu visions of the Geula, what we typically call Yeshayahu Bet or Deuteronomy Isaiah. All these people are going to come to you the land, are going to come and adorn you the land. You will tie them on like an adi, and you will tie them on like a bride does. So adi, we understand from context, means some sort of an adornment, but you'll notice that here it's parallel to the word kala. And the same thing happens in the only other mention of the word Adi outside of Yechezkel in these books, which is in Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu, Hatishgach betula edya kala kishureha. Would a young maiden forget her Adi, or a kala forget her things that are tied on, evidently crowns and other things of that sort, which means the word Adi and kala are somehow always seen in parallel. And it's still a mystery to us until we open up a book that's all full of mystery, which is the book of Yechezkel. Now, the book of Yechezkel is a very difficult book to study, and it's a book that Chazal tell us was nearly banned. And it was nearly banned not because of the very bizarre visions that we're familiar with, which is the chariot, etc., But it was nearly banned because in the last nine chapters, which describe the Mikdash, it describes all sorts of korbanot and rules for Kohanim, etc., that are just don't fit, say, for Vayikra. And the Gemara tells us that there was a Chacham who had an in-depth Yechezkel seminar in which he darshaned Hananiah ben Chizkiah ben Gurion, and he darshaned all the difficulties and explained them away in order to save Sefer Yechezkel. Very nice. In Sefer Yechezkel, you have the longest chapter in Yechezkel, chapter 16, is such a horrific chapter that it's singled out in the Mishnah as saying, Ein maftirin behodat Yerushalayim etel votayat. It's Mishnah Megillah. You're not allowed to use that as Haftarah. Remember, until the 11th, 12th century, Haftarot were wide open. You could pick whatever you wanted as long as it fit certain rules. Hodat, you're never allowed to use that for Haftarah because it's so upsetting. What is it? Yechezkel is told to tell Yerushalayim about all the terrible things they've done. It's graphic. It's disgusting. It's awful. It's really horrific. And it's very long. And in it, by the way, I think we once saw one pasuk from there. In it, there's a mention of what the sin of Sodom was. It says, your sin is worse than the sin of Sodom. That's in the context. The beginning of it has a passage that we all know. All right? And we'll take a look at it. The Yerushalayim, we start talking to Yerushalayim, you were born in Mitzrayim. And here we go. Umoldotayach biyom huleret otach lo charat shareich umayim lo huichatz lemishi v'chamlech mleach lo chumalt v'hachtel lo chutalt. No diapers, right? Lo chas alayich ayin. You can see it in English. Lasot lach achat me'ilu lechemla lechemla alayich v'atushlechi al pnei asadeh begol nafshech biyom huleret otach. So you were like out there in the field. Nobody's taking care of you. You're abandoned. Sound familiar, right?
Yeah.
This is where it comes from. I passed over you and I saw you wallowing in your blood. Which we darshan in all sorts of different ways, but simple pshat is, in spite of the fact that in your blood you will live. Live anyways. I made you like the grass of the field. And the idea here is this is the source of the midrashim of the population explosion in Egypt. You became power, might, numerous, and you grew. Vatavoi ba'adi adayim. What does that mean? What does that word mean? So are you going to tell me that means you suddenly came into jewels? Very strange. How do they translate it here? It should be that you were, they kind of gloss over it. What about the Adayim very likely means you actually...
Excellent beauty.
Right, which doesn't fit this at all. So it actually may mean that you then entered puberty. It may refer to menstruation. There is a place in Yeshayahu, in Samache, I think it is, where it talks about Beged Edim. And Edim is a cloth used for menstrual checking. It's in the Mishnah all over Masach and Nidah. What does it mean here? It's unclear. We'll come back to it. Shadayim nachonu sarech tzimeach vate rom veriya. I remember we had a Haggadah that had, some Haggadah had this pasuk in it too. I remember every time my sister used to just go, what the heck is going on here? Right? No, I think some only do the first pasuk. Because I think, because my sister, I think they cut it out. I don't know. Vavor alayich verech v'inei itech etodim. Right? And I saw this is the time for love, meaning you are ready. I put my garment over you. By the way, this is beautiful. It's like taking out a shir shirin. I covered your nakedness. I made a breed with you. I took an oath to you. And you became mine. In other words, God married us. Beautiful. All right? And I bathed you and I gave you oils. Meshech rikma, and I put all sorts of beautiful garments on you. Lech tachach vech bashech bashesh vachasech meshi. And what happened? Va'edech edi. Seems to say, I bedecked you in jewels. Va'natz midim al yadayach v'ravid al gronech, etc. Right? And then afterwards, of course, what happens? Every time Dick and Harry that came by, you whored with him. I mean, what I'm saying is gentle compared to what the Yechezkel says. It's really, really, but it starts off with this beautiful love affair between, it's not really between because it's unidirectional, of God seeing this young girl and taking care of her, and the minute she's ready, marrying her, making a breed with her, being loyal to her, and in the meantime, she's just all over the place. But what is this Adi, especially the first Adi that shows up? So I'd like to make a suggestion, which within Yechezkel, that will then take us back to our original piece and then hopefully clarify. The word Adi, which we've seen in Yeshayahu and Yirmiyahu as paralleled to Kala, the word Adi that we've seen in Yechezkel as being used both as something about that age of growing up and coming into that age, and also as jewels, I think is really all one word. There is something that's recognized throughout Tanakh, and I'm making a comment of my own on it, which is that when a young woman comes into that age, there's something about her that changes. There's a chen about her, moving from that awkward pre into the readiness. And sometimes, in many situations, that would be much older. In the ancient world, that was around that time of life. The word Adi seems to be reflecting that, and Haraya, in both Yeshayahu and Yirmiyahu, it's compared to a kala. It's something when a girl is just ready. And you may even associate it with the word Ad. Coming to that point. What happens... And that's what Yechezkel is saying. Vatavoy ba'di adayim means you reached that age. And that's why a garment used to check for that blood is called beged idim. Again, in the Mishnah, neither, but also in a pasuk in Yeshayahu. So now, let's think back as to what happened in Yitziat Mitzrayim. Yitziat Mitzrayim, we read about garments and fancy jewels that are put on the boys, the girls, and the women. And they're the ones who the men are told to take them off of their wives and children for the egel. That's the klei chesed v'klei zahav. What is it the men have on them? So we have to appreciate, Mamad Har Sinai was a super transformative experience. We come out of Mitzrayim tired, frustrated, kvetchy. And by the way, the kvetchiness continues at Yam Suf, because kvetchiness continues after Yam Suf, the kvetchiness continues in the Midbar, the Man, the kvetchiness continues at Merivah, Masal Merivah. We get to Har Sinai, and it's like we're reborn. Imagine, HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Chvado L'Atzmo comes down and talks to us. And it's as if we are just fresh beings. What happens when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I can't allow my presence to be among you anymore? So now, take a look back at Source 2 and you'll see. And now it'll all come together. Vayishma ha'am et hadavar hara hazeh vayit abalu. The people hear that God can't have his presence among them anymore. And they mourn. And what happens? V'lo shatu ish edyo alav. Do you ever see somebody who gets very excited about somebody who's normally sort of tepid and gets very excited about something? We've all seen it. Do you ever seen what they look like when you let the air out of the balloon? When you tell them that somebody who you've been waiting a long time to find out if they had a kid, say, oh, they're pregnant and expecting, ooh, they get so excited. Said, oh, sorry, it was somebody else. See, the whole air gets leaves them, right? But in any circumstance, we all are familiar with circumstances like that. Imagine, here's Bnei Israel, they come to Har Sinai. It's happened. We are Hashem's nation. Hashem is among us. Hashem is shachanti betocham. Wow. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I can't be with you anymore. V'lo shatu ish ed yo'alav, everybody's adi, everybody's freshness, everybody's new life suddenly is gone. Now, what happens? HaKadosh Baruch Hu now says, Atem am k'shei oraf, rega achad ela bekir b'cha b'chiliticha. At this point, what should he say? Ata horeid kelacha. Meaning, your own feeling is something you dropped. Now what I'm telling you is, take off the actual jewels. You have to appear like mourners. Don't just feel like mourners with that defeated look in your face. Actually take them off and look like mourners. And what happens? It's full circle. What was it that drove us to feeling like this from rags to riches? Mibira mikta le'igra rama. From the lowest of the low to the highest of the high. What gave us that feeling? We're walking out of Mitzrayim. What do we have in our hands? Vayinatzlu et Mitzrayim. We cleaned Mitzrayim out. The commercial center of the world, and we cleaned them out. What a powerful feeling. What happens at Har Sinai? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, take them off. Take them off. That feeling is gone. So what word does the text use? Vayitnatzlu et Edyam. To correspond with the Vinitzaltem et Mitzrayim. You despoiled Mitzrayim, now you're despoiled. What you did emptying out Mitzrayim is now happening to you. This experience, this event that you participated in of Chet HaEgel, leaves a permanent mark of taking a moment of fresh, exciting rebirth and just popping that balloon and all the air hisses out. So first it happens internally. Vayitabalu v'loshatu ish et yo'alav. Ish. Meaning even the men felt that. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, you have to look like mourners. Everybody take off your special garments. And now, mehar choreven on, vayit natzlu. The same nitzul that we did on Mitzrayim now happens to us. And it makes a lot of sense. Because after all, what were we warned about when we left Mitzrayim? Don't do what they do. Don't make gold images. What did we do? We took the same gold we got from them and turned it into a gold image. No better. So now the same nitzul that you did to them now happens to you. And right, natzlu. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses this brilliant word of adi, which in the first instance refers to the feeling of freshness, that jewel of a young person just coming into their own, and now uses it instead of a keli to make that point. And notice, what is the word that HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses when he wants to say, I have a special relationship with you? Rak etchem yadati mikol ha'amim. Take the word yadati and turn it inside out. What do you get? You get adi. It's a play on words. It's deliberate. I don't know you anymore. I'm not connected with you anymore. The yada becomes an adi, was an adi, which now has to take off. I don't know you anymore. And so what happens here at the foot of Har Sinai is that first they have that internal deflation, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu formalizes it. And that puts us a step down from here on in. Will it ever be restored? That's a different question. But at this point at Har Sinai, and Mehar Chorev, meaning from that point on, it's gone. Big problem, Nachum Yigal.